committee of the board chaired by Carol Spooner, who is the author of one of the drafts. We can only hope that the individual members of the Pacifica board have been reading their own email, taking their own input, and as well reading the postings on the Pacifica.org website to get this. And I strongly encourage people to go to that website, Pacifica.org, and put their comments in there and you know, perhaps just focus on one issue in the way that people are encouraged to write letters to their representatives and focus that way, because one of the reasons that we're calling for a delay is that we don't believe that all the Pacifica board members have had time to consider all of these. Indeed, some of the drafts are being modified as we speak. And to critique them or to agree with them is kind of like hitting a moving target. And we're talking about a board meeting that's a week away. So that's a great concern.
Any other opinions?
Well, I remain optimistic that we will be able to have some say at the national board. I remain more optimistic that we may be able to convince two other station groups to see things more our way. And I would hope, since the two stations that are allied are Washington and Houston, that we can form a strong alliance with New York and Berkeley and get a more democratic bylaws actually approved, because through that station process, even if the national board would do a set of bylaws that we did not like, should three of the five stations reject them, then they have to go back and make a new draft. They wouldn't have a choice.
I'm not as optimistic as Margalo, and I think that we're playing hardball. The time has come to begin to play some hardball. If you look at the record, it's been very difficult for the bylaws committees nationally to form any kind of national consensus around what the bylaws should be. And that's largely because the mechanisms for communication among them weren't set up. The way the communication network was set up around the bylaws was that everything went directly to the center. It went directly to the chair of the bylaws committee on the Pacifica National Board, and only went out to those who happened to have subscribed to a private email list that you know, would report on what other people were doing, and very few people were involved in that. There was no cross-fertilization, no discussion between the different groups, and it's only been recently, in the last few weeks, that a Pacifica National Bylaws email list has been set up for discussion. There's about 98 members of that, where there's many, many more people involved in the bylaws process. And, you know, if there's a question of whether influence is power. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It depends on how you define power. But the only influence that listeners have in this process is the power. We only have the power to influence. We don't have the power to vote. And if you look at the record, you see, for example, that the Pacifica National Board didn't even debate publicly a proposal by some listeners from New York and from L.A., that would have given listeners the power, some kind of final ratification powers, on whatever the Pacifica National Board came up with. They didn't even discuss it publicly. Now, whether they discussed it privately or not, or just dismissed it and say, yeah, we looked at it, whatever, who knows? Also, you have to take into account that so many proposals that have been made and have been out there, even in some cases, like the KLG democratization proposal, the Dittman model, the PAC, Pacific Accountability Committee bylaws that have been out there for years have not shown up on the grid. The Pacific National Board has created a grid, right, where they can cross-reference and compare the provisions of different models. They're not even on the grid. So, you know, I mean, it was... And then you look at the fact that in a couple of cases, certainly here in Los Angeles, the proposals by the Pacific National Board members who were supposed to be, perhaps... I think some would debate this, but in my view, we're supposed to be representing the concerns and the interests of the bylaws committees as the settlement lays out, in that these bylaws are supposed to be developed in consultation with the listeners. I mean, the bylaws proposals that came from some Interim Pacifica National Board members, including the LA board member, reflected nothing of local thinking. So, I mean, all those things begin to add up into what I consider to be a fairly highly crystallized pattern. That doesn't look optimistic to me.
And I want to make a personal plea. I'm going to Houston as a lab member, and we need to have as much input as possible. I want to go there with something behind me. So we need a lot of listeners to call in, to email, to make sure that the national knows what we care about. Now, you can find information about these on www.kpfk.org. For the national one, it's pacifica.org, and you can put comments on there. So please do that. It is imperative that we have some weight behind us.
Marla, do you have a...
Yes, just one thing before we close. We had made a very strong proposal regarding diversity, and we neglected to mention it thus far. The diversity proposal is that half of the people sitting on any board would be women and people of color. And our bylaws is distinctive in that it's not just a goal. We have it set up with voting procedure to accomplish it. And I didn't want that to be neglected before we finish our discussion.
That's a very important theme.
It is.
In the reconstruction of Pacifica and a foundation of its new constitution. And there are some real differences in terms of how to achieve diversity and what that means. I guess the only really unifying factor is that the National Board, at its last meeting in Berkeley, passed a resolution on race and nationality that has some very specific guidelines, not only in terms of, quotas and sort of day-to-day business and in terms of affirmative action and who does what, but also has some very sweeping proposals for diversity trainings on and off air, for the engagement of listeners of color, especially poor listeners of color, in the life of the network. And there are really two proposals that are out there for the Pacific National Board to consider with respect to diversification, to the ending of Pacifica as what might be called a white racist institution. And that is the one that we've put forward, which is a very detailed proposal. It also mirrors some of the things that Carol Spooner put forward with respect to diversification. And the idea is that you set up your voting in such a way that you guarantee a diverse representation of the listeners and thereby guarantee the concerns of oppressed communities on the local station boards and then, as a consequence in programming. And then there's another model which is variously called, well, really it's a constituency model. And it calls for people from particular constituencies, particular organizations, to be, in effect, have seats reserved for them on the Pacifica National Board. Those things are going to be debated out, I'm sure, at the Pacifica National Board meeting. I don't know that we have time to go into them here and now, but suffice it to say that, again, when you are developing bylaws, you're dealing with fundamental and core questions of value, and what direction they go, who has control of them, and so on, is very important. That's also part of why we did the KPFK Bylaws Convention, because we understood that if the voices of the voiceless were going to be represented, put it this way, how could the voice of the voiceless be represented if even the largely white, deeply involved activist community in the Pacifica movement wasn't being represented?
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left of the show. Does anyone have any closing comments that they would like to make before we wrap up?
Lerner, if I could just echo something that Margalo said earlier about the transparency. We're definitely advocating for transparency up and down the line, not just in terms of the finances. That's fairly obvious. But in terms of the process, in terms of the decision-making processes, all of that, because we've been talking about accountability and we've been talking about democracy, but really none of this makes any sense unless it's an informed democracy, which requires that transparency. So we need to know what's going on. And one of the problems with the way things have worked in the past is that the worst things that have happened, that have been visited upon us, have been done so by an executive committee of the Pacifica Board of Directors. And for years, this was essentially just one person and whatever supporters he could gather. And general managers could be fired, station boards can be dissolved, things like that. That's what we need to guard against.
Tom.
I would like to say something regarding staff. I mean, although many of the groups have said they didn't want staff in a separate voting situation on boards, etc., we should remember that staff are employees, and that the bulk of the listener sponsors care about unions and employees, and that we want good employee-employer relations, and consequently give them all the things that are important, grievance procedures, timelines, all those things that protect employees. I just want to make sure that they understood that.
And we probably should say that when we set up who would be members and didn't have special reserved seats for staff, we said that we did want staff to be regular members with the rest of the listener sponsors. So that would be encouraged.
I just wanted to highlight again the urgency of struggling for a bylaws convention and of struggling for a delay in the context that, you know, the bylaws are being revised, that there are people who are quote-unquote ex-hijackers who are pushing for expanding the network as per the old Pacifica Strategic Five-Year Plan, as per Mary Frances Berry, for those of you who are in the know on who she is. You know, and following the vote on the move to Berkeley, these people seem to have the initiative. Jabari Sakia had said that, you know, the network should have should not move until there's a whole new set of priorities for Pacifica, that we should be buying stations. But that whole vision is just a regurgitation of what has existed before and has been kept feebly alive by Rob Robinson and others who are fanning some of this stuff and who are going to try to keep power very tightly in the hands of a very, very highly structured model that is based on a corporate model that could take Pacifica right back down the road to perdition, as it were.
If the rationale for rushing ratifications is to push quickly for elections, it's possible that the cost of that rush might be that Rob Robinson's proposal is the one that's railroaded through. In any case, it makes a lot of sense to vigorously resist any bylaws proposal that is on the table that we already know is inappropriate for Pacifica's effectiveness in a democratic free speech media outlet. Before the listeners get a chance to organize against the bylaws being railroaded, the process is a fait accompli. We move on to elections and we find out there's no mandated on-air access to support or generate the campaign and electoral process. That's about it for today's KPFK Matters. Tune in Monday morning at 10 a.m. for a special two-hour edition of KPFK Matters with listener call-ins during the second hour. That's KPFK Matters this Monday morning at 10 a.m., directly following Democracy Now! Thanks to Doug Barnett, Ian Johnston, Sasha Karlik, Jonathan Markowitz, and Harrison Wheel, and all those who assisted in this production. My name is Lerner Goody. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles.